my friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Thursday, April the 17th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness here as we celebrate and enter into this Triduum time. Now, I know, I'm simply going to reflect and not gripe that I am not certain when this will be posted, and I'm not certain when you will hear this. However, in the grace of God, if it were to come up, we celebrate the Triduum, brothers and sisters. We celebrate the three holiest days within our church year. And I wanted to get this posted up before that, simply so we can reflect upon that. And I, therefore, don't have to be worried about putting it up on Good Friday or anything else. So, anyway, normally they try to go up on Fridays, try the key word there, and so we'll just leave this in God's good hands. But we are going to listen to two readings this weekend, or for this weekend, and I'm taking them out of the Easter Vigil, which is what I do every time we approach Easter and look at the readings. Now, there's good news and bad news with that. The good news is that the gospel changes, of course, with the year. This is year C, so we're going to hear Luke's rendition of the resurrection. The bad news is we don't get John's, because John's is always on Sunday morning. And that's got something different to say to us, but each of the gospels have point in different, the same place, but in different ways. And it's wonderful, and I'm glad that gets to change. The other reading we're going to hear is out of the Easter Vigil. It's the only New Testament reading we ever hear in the Easter Vigil, and it's always the same. But I'm telling you, it is so good. We could hear it again year after year and not grow tired of it and not get to the depths of it. It's Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 3 to 11. So, again, just terrific stuff. So, okay, Paul 6, 3 to 11, and then the gospel for those who like to follow along, Luke 24, 1 to 12. And with that, my brothers and sisters, however it is you ready yourself to receive the word of God well, I invite you to do that at this time, and open yourself to what the word has for us this week. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin. For a dead person has been absolved from sin. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has power over him. As to his death, he died to sin once and for all. As to his life, he lives for God. Consequently, you too must think of yourselves as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As always, my friends, if there is or was a word, a thought, an idea, an image, anything, you know, that in this wonderful reading from Paul that came to you while hearing it, I invite you, just let the Word of God, let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God needs to do with you in the midst of that word, that phrase, that thought, that image, that idea, okay? That's one of the ways God continues to speak. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At daybreak on the first day of the week, The women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And they said to him, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day?" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. My friends, the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this really is, it's almost beyond good news, brothers and sisters. This is unimaginable news. So let's just kind of unpack it a little bit, okay? The feast day in general, and then let's get into specifics. So, okay, the gospel, we're going to start there. With the women going out on the first day of the week. So we know that is what we call Sunday. And Jesus died, was killed on Friday. Now, this is one of the synoptic gospels. This is, I'm going to put John aside for a moment. And in the synoptics, Jesus, the Passover happens the night before Jesus dies. And then Jesus is killed on the day after Passover. And in the evening of the day that Jesus is killed is the preparation day for the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath, of course, happens on a Friday evening at sundown, goes until Saturday evening at sundown. That's the 24 hours. And so what normally would have happened, the preparation of the body and the, you know, the preparing it, the spices that they take and preparing the body for burial, would have been done the day following the death, but because it was Sabbath, couldn't happen on Saturday morning. So Sunday morning was the first day that they could go there. So that's why it goes from Friday death, getting the body in the tomb, didn't have time to prepare it because it was late in the afternoon when he passed away. Sundown's coming. They have to get ready for Sabbath, where there is no work to be done, and all the way till Sunday morning, and this happens. So the women approach, and the stone is rolled away. And the stoners, when they entered, they did not find Jesus' body. And they were puzzled at this. And then behold, two men in shining garments, dazzling garments show up. Now, we talked about it last year. Mark's gospel points us in a different way with the young man in a robe. I won't go down that alley again. Listen to last year's. It's awesome. I love what Mark's doing there. With Luke, it's the typical thought. He says two men in dazzling garments. We image them as angels. Again, the word isn't used here, but they just appear in these dazzling garments, almost like the transfiguration, right? Where Moses and Elijah in dazzling garments appear with Jesus, and Peter, James, and John are there with them, and they shine like the sun. So I think we're to image something like that. But they're not named Moses and Elijah. I don't even think they're supposed to be that. But I think we're supposed to get that image that these men come from somewhere in, uh, from from out of this world, may I say it that way? I mean, we know Moses and Elijah had died, were in this kingdom of God, and in coming into this world, they appear in these dazzling garments. And so too do these men come to us in these dazzling garments. And they ask us the best question. I mean, they ask a question not only to the women, which is a practical question, but they ask an existential question. And one that I hope, brothers and sisters, we struggle with, and one that we ponder. Why do we seek the living one among the dead? Now, for the women that morning, that's a perfectly reasonable question. Why are you here in the tomb looking for one who is no longer here? Why do you seek one who is alive? Because one who is alive is not going to be in a tomb. So they're pointing at the resurrection, but they're not saying it directly, you know? And the women, terrified, bow their faces to the ground, you know, and they kind of remember the words, you know, because the two men in dazzling garments repeat them. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee. Son of man must be handed over to sinners, crucified, and rise in the third day. They remember the words. They return from the tomb. They announce all this to the 11, and they're amazed, but they don't know what it means. And so the apostles, the 11, okay, so the 11, capital T, capital E, Judas is no longer a part of them, listen to this, but they it sounds like a crazy story. So they just don't believe it. In John's gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved and Peter run out to the tomb. In Luke's gospel, it's just Peter. It just says, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. It doesn't mean he believes and it's like, this is true. He's just amazed that something is going on. And it brings us right to the precipice of, I looked into the tomb, it's empty. What does that mean? And that's that amazement that he's walking home in. All right. So brothers and sisters, that's another thing that this gospel invites you and I to. On the one hand, it invites us to ponder the question, why do we, you and I, even now, with 2,000 years of history, with knowing in our heart and in our mind, with knowing historically through the scriptures what had happened, why do we continue to seek the living one among the dead? Because we do. We do all the time. That's the question number one for us. And question number two is, when we look into the tomb, what does it conjure up for us? What does it bring us to? What does it mean for us? Brothers and sisters, those are the questions that this gospel puts right securely and squarely in front of us. I've said this before numerous times. I don't think I've said it in a while. But to be human is to carry addictions. I think we do. You may be thinking, Joe, but I'm not addicted. You know, I'm not an alcoholic, or I'm not a drug addict, or I'm not a you know, gambling addict, or you name it. Okay. But to be human, I believe, is to be addicted. It is to seek the living one among something that is far lesser than living. It is to seek life, maybe through the affirmations of my coworkers. Maybe it is to seek life through pleasure. Maybe it is to seek life in you know, food, or in to seek life through new and you know, exciting experiences. And listen, there's nothing wrong with any of those things that I'm telling you. There's nothing wrong. I enjoy beer, I'll say that. I have gambled before. You know, that doesn't mean we're addicted, but to the extent, brothers and sisters, that we seek life from anything and we depend on life from anything other than who is our God, than the one who is life itself, than the only one who really can bring life, because those other things that we seek will leave us empty after them, and we will need to seek them again, and even perhaps in more and more quantities or more and more often to fill us, to get that life that we once got from lesser quantities or less frequently. I mean, that's addiction. To be human is to be addicted, and we seek life elsewhere, but our God comes to us and says, but I am the only one who gives life. I am life itself. Why do we seek life from something other than life? I am it. And these men in dazzling garments come before us, and they invite us unto the teeth of that same question. Why do we seek the living one among the dead? And the other question is, what is it when we look into this place? What does it mean to us? Do we celebrate this coming Sunday merely, and I put that in quotation marks because it's an amazing thing, so merely is denigrating it in a way that should not be. But do we celebrate merely an event that took place 2,000 years ago? Brothers and sisters, here, I'll say this before, and I'm sure I said it last year, and I probably say it every Easter. For most of my life, I believed that the stone rolled away so Jesus could get out of the tomb when God raised him from the dead. I don't think that's true at all. If we continue to read in any of the Gospels, the disciples are locked in the upper room out of fear, and Jesus enters into that place. Locked doors he doesn't seem to have a problem coming into them. He appears, on the road to Emmaus, seemingly out of nowhere, and disappears in the same way. He appears in the garden, seemingly out of nowhere, when Mary is crying in John's gospel. I mean, there are numerous times that this risen Christ clearly has abilities that Jesus of Nazareth, the human being, did not. And so I don't think that stone rolled away in any way, shape, or form so Jesus could get out. I think the stone rolled away precisely for what happened with Peter at the end of the gospel, or in John's gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved and Peter, or for the women in all of the gospels to look in and to be brought unto the teeth of the issue, as it were, and say, what does this mean? What does it mean for me? So let's, brothers and sisters, go back to Paul. Because Paul, I think, in such an incredible way. Now, Paul can be confusing, and we know that. But he's speaking directly to this issue and directly to this question. Brothers and sisters, so he's speaking to the church in Rome. Are you unaware that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus, so he's speaking to you and I, he's speaking not only to the church in Rome, almost 2,000 years ago, he's speaking to our reality now. My friends, are you and I unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's the hard part, brothers and sisters. That's the Good Friday part. Put that on the shelf. I'm going to come back to that. We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it again. It's so good. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we were buried with Christ in baptism into death, okay? Death is a part of it. It's what I talked about last week. If all these three come up at the same time, which they probably will, go back and listen to last week's too. I know it's long, but we talk about the first part of the Paschal mystery. Death is a reality. It will not go away. The resurrection and what we celebrate today does not say no longer will death be part of our life. It doesn't say in Jesus conquering death, death and evil and hardship and hurt and tears are no longer a part of this world. No, it's not saying that again. It's not saying that at all. What it is saying is that that is not the last word. That yes, we are baptized into that death. We will experience death and harm and hurt and tears and all of those things in this world. But it's saying that is not the end. We are also baptized into his resurrection. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too will you and I live in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, what we celebrate here is not just a historical event. Again, I'll use that word merely, an historical event. But instead, what we celebrate here is participatory. We celebrate what is real now. We celebrate what is reality. And that reality is that there is nothing that can and will take place in our life that God cannot make happen for good. That God cannot take and make good come out of it, because life has the last word. The stone is rolled away, so we may look into it and say, what does that mean to me? That death is empty. Yes, it hurts like hell. Yes, it brings grief. Yes, it brings change. I cannot approach death and leave that tomb being the same person. And that is difficult. Death is hard. I am not minimizing it in the least, but I am saying that there is nothing that you and I go through. There is nothing, thanks be to God, this world goes through that God cannot make new, because life and love are stronger than death. As Rob Bell says in his book title, easy book to read if you've not read it, Love Wins. Love has the last word. Life has the last word. Death holds no power. Look into the tomb. What do you see? It's empty. Peter walked away amazed, trying to figure it out. In John's gospel, when Peter and the disciple whom Jesus loved walk away, it says, you know, again, I don't know if they use the word amazed, but they walk away in wonder, but they still don't understand. Brothers and sisters, I'm here talking about it for a long time, and I want to say to you very clearly, I do not have the fullness of understanding of this either. But I know the Paschal mystery is real. Christ has died, but Christ is risen. What we celebrate this Easter is not only what happened 2,000 years ago, but what is the new pattern? Life has the last word. And brothers and sisters, once we know that, and once it moves beyond our head, the idea that this is dogma, you know, and it's a head knowledge, and it moves into a newness of being, that this is the new reality, and I believe it not only in my head, but in my heart and in my very life, you'll see it everywhere. In the dawning of each day, because night doesn't have the last word. In the flower that pokes through the snow, because winter doesn't have the last word, right? In the butterfly that emerges from the cocoon, because death doesn't have the last word. The pattern is sown into everything that is around. Destruction and decay are not the end. They are the portal into the new. Our God is the first fruits of that, but we follow behind. All of creation is born into this. Brothers and sisters, this is the best news. This is the best news because it foreshadows what is real for you and I, not only at the end of our life, but whatever it is you and I are going through today, that God can make it new. That whatever we find ourselves in, whatever difficult moment, whatever dark valley, that God can and will make it new. It may take longer than 3 days, from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. I don't know God's timing, but I know this, that death does not have the last word. That stone, whatever mountain it is that we cannot go beyond or see beyond right now, it will be moved. Because that's the story of today. Let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first glorious mystery, Jesus rises. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May God bless you, and may this week be filled with every good blessing. Be well.